Hi, and welcome to Women of Hope with Penny Mulvey. We're going to have fun today as we join the Mother's Day marketing mania. However, I promise we won't sell a single chocolate, negligee, flower, or even power tool. Instead, we'll share some precious memories, hear some poetry, and even get a few tips from very experienced mums. Firstly, let me read a snippet of a brand new poem by Maureen Bartlett called Patience, Mum, which she wrote as she observed her daughter in the role of mother. Hang on, Mum, there's rest ahead. You've almost got them into bed. Not long now and you'll become more yourself, less someone's mum. Two down, Mum, you're almost there. Just one more kiss and one more prayer. Aren't you glad the night has come, the pets are fed, the homework's done? Come on quickly into bed. You've brushed your teeth, your book's been read. Now snuggle down and go to sleep, and no more noise, not one small peep. Oh boy, do I relate to that. My younger two seem at times to be allergic to their beds. But then as they get older, they go to bed after their parents, don't they? And there doesn't ever seem to be a time to ourselves. Today we're going to hear from grandmothers and mothers, and Pat also brings a timely reminder of the pain many women feel at this time of year because of poor relationships with their own mothers, or because they're not mothers themselves. It's important as we celebrate special occasions, we also give space to those who, for whatever reason, find it difficult to celebrate.
Hello, I'm Margaret Rowan Kelly, mother of eight, former Miss Australia, fanatical cyclist, wife of Kieran, and an author of two books. And I'm being interviewed by Penny Mulvey in the program Women of Hope.
My two-year-old son was watering the garden with the hose, and I was in the house. And then he decided he wanted to tell me something, so he wandered inside calling for me, still holding the running hose.
Oh, no.
Through the hallway, the sitting room and into the kitchen, quite unaware of what was happening around him. And then I met him. I was glad. But I sometimes think of that time and think it's the same with us and God. And I found that comforting. We can come searching for God and calling out to him no matter what we're holding in our hands.
One of the stories I look back and I can still laugh at with older children is being on my bicycle in Wakery in South Australia. And I'd been on the road only a couple of days. And I rang home to tell my family that I was safe, as I did every few days on these trips. And my son, Matthew, answered the phone. And he told me, who was on my bike, in a country town on the Murray, that he'd run out of underpants. You know, I couldn't believe it. I just sort of thought, what happened to all our training? Like, who was this 20-year-old? And I remember looking into the phone and saying, Matthew, have I got a university degree? Well, no, he said. Have you? I said, well, yes, he said, I have a couple. I said, then you have intelligence enough to know that if you run out of underpants, you turn them inside out and wear them again the next day.
And his response? Was he a bit sheepish?
I'm not sure. He was in shock.
Yes, I can suspect that your life is full of little gems like that, with your children, having eight of them.
Everybody's life's full of gems with children. Every parent is rich. The way we view our children now is changing. There are couples opting for no family. I have a sister with no children who is absolutely adored by my children, and the opposite applies. She's brought a great richness into our family simply because she has no children. So I'm not one into judgment of these things. I think, again, we have our own journey to make and we need to free other people to make this.
My 10-year-old, we have a really good relationship. The other day she actually said to me, I'm not having children. And I said, why? And she said, do you know they cost you $150,000 a year and they make you unhappy? And I said, no. And I said, even if someone gave me $1 million, darling, I wouldn't swap them for you. And she was really quite taken aback by that. But
she'd been reading the paper or something, had she?
Yeah, because they talk about it on the TV, and you don't really know what children take in from the TV, even the news and things like that. So it was great to see her face, to know that even so much money wouldn't replace her in my sight.
It's a strange feeling watching facets of my son coming out in these four children in different ways and watching his reactions to their things which are so similar to his doings. It's very humbling to observe. I've got two sons, and the two daughters-in-law are very unalike. They both work quite differently. And yet the children are all just lovely.
It must be a bit like going down memory lane.
It is. And you just glance over at a child, and there is your particular child of 30 years ago.
And the thing is, often you've forgotten those things, haven't you?
Yes, completely.
And they come back and hit you in the face.
That's right. Oh, motherhood is amazing.
Yes.
I'm forever being surprised by my own children and by my grandchildren.
I believe that being a grandparent is a unique experience, quite different to being a parent.
I wasn't prepared for my emotions as I held my first grandchild. I have one family of four children 4 or 5 hours away, and I always make it a point to go for a walk with each one separately. That's a very precious time, and they just talk and talk and talk.
Joy felt almost suicidal in the early years of raising her second daughter, who was extremely defiant and difficult to manage. But some words she heard at a conference changed her entire life.
The verse that was brought to my attention at a convention was in James chapter 1 and verses 5 and 6, where it says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, he should pray to God, who will give it to him. Because God gives generously and graciously to all, but when you pray, you must believe and not doubt at all." I remember sitting there and saying to myself, that means me, it means anyone, any ordinary person. And I started asking God for wisdom in all sorts of situations.
And you needed that wisdom in particular in relation to a daughter?
Yeah, well, I had two daughters, and they were both very different. And I needed that wisdom. Well, when you think about it, you need it in all sorts of situations. But in particular at that time, I needed it for bringing up children.
You're talking when you had a preschooler.
It was a little girl that had a very strong temper, a strong will, and sort of wanted to run the place, and she seemed to be against everyone and everything. And it was a whole new experience to me because it was the second child, and the first one hadn't been like that, and I really didn't know how to handle her. I was almost afraid to take her out in public at one stage because of the things that she might do and say. I realised that the most important thing was to love her and pray for her and also to be an example to her. And I realised that it was no good telling her one thing and doing another because she, their eyes are on you all the time. They're seeing what you do and listening to what you say. And so what you teach them, you have to show them by your living, not by your words. I thought that was very important.
What was the turning point?
Well, it wasn't sudden. It was just all very gradual. I couldn't state a time when there was a turning point, but I can remember at one stage thinking I'd had a whole day where it wasn't too bad. And I began to think it was not going on forever, that it would finish one day. So there was no definite time that I could say.
Now, you can give hope and encouragement to women who find themselves in the same situation, though, can't you? Because it doesn't go on forever.
That's right, but you think it will. Nothing's forever. I can remember my mother quoting to me, "It will pass." And, you know, I knew that it would pass, but still every time that she said it, it cheered me up. I needed someone to say it to me. Because you would just almost feel swamped and think, oh, is life going to be like this forever?
And you can only think that it's God's wisdom and your patience.
That's right, and God giving me patience and wisdom and praying for her. I guess when you have children, you pray more than you've ever prayed before because you want God's hand to be upon them and you want them to grow up knowing and trusting him. Can't think of anything better.
No
more important than what they're going to do or be.
So what's your relationship with your daughter like now?
Wonderful. Couldn't be better. Isn't God great?
And how old is she now?
37.
So she's got children of her own?
Mm.
And do they give her a hard time?
Well, One of them did.
Encouraging words for all of us at the beginning of the parenting journey, a journey we all know lasts a lifetime. Women of Hope with Penny Mulvey will be back shortly.